And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ AM 1400. We're positive talk radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is disillusionment. My first guest discussed the differences between CEO compensation and the average worker, and we examined what can be done about the discrepancy. My next guest is going to look at job satisfaction for non-executives to answer the question, how happy are we at work? Most people will answer not happy at all, according to my guest. If you want to call in, you can join the conversation at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. John Schaefer is America's employment recognition expert. He helps organizations succeed by optimizing their most valuable asset, people. He wrote the book, The Vocational Shrink, an analysis of 10 levels of workplace disillusionment. His latest book is titled, Get More Productivity for Less. Your employees will love you for it. John is a graduate of Arizona State University as an industrial engineer, and he got his degree back in 1980. Go Sun Devils. Welcome to the show, John. How are you?
Good, Billy. Thanks a lot.
Oh, it's great to have you. Thanks for being our guest. All right, let's jump right into it, because there is a lot of dissatisfaction out there. You say 70% of employees are dissatisfied with their job. In most cases, however, employees are laying low. They're waiting out the recession in their current job in a term which is known as presentism. They're present, but they're not fully engaged. Many employers are happy with this current situation because it keeps the employees from changing jobs, and bonuses and raises, they're non-existent. So how is this fatal thinking on the part of the employers, and what can they do about it?
Well, it's very easy for companies to take advantage of the opportunity now, but what they're really doing is they're trading employee engagement for current work. And the statistics show that about 66% of your employees will begin looking when the economy turns, and unfortunately, it's not the 66% you wish would leave.
All right.
So they're going to pay for it in the long run, and a lot of it, unfortunately, is habit-based, and people aren't even aware they're doing it. And that's kind of what got me involved in this. When I went to work out of college, I was in a factory with 6,000 people, and I was immediately amazed at the amount of people and the amount of time that was spent complaining about not being appreciated. I thought, these companies are paying wages and they're not getting the full work they're buying. What can we do about it? And I've been a student of it ever since.
All right. Well, that makes sense, John. Now, you mentioned that 66% of the people are going to begin looking as soon as the economy turns around. In fact, there may be that mass migration that you're talking about going to the greener pastures of other companies. But pay usually isn't the primary motivating factor for these changes, is it? What do employees really value in a position in both good times and in bad times?
You know, it's interesting. They did a study at George Mason University in the 40s, and they asked employees, what motivates you at work? And pay, since then, has consistently been right in the middle of the 10. What really motivates people is being loved and being respected, which are both emotional, engaging tools. And if you look at Maslow's level 4 of self-esteem, that tends to agree. And so what happens is employees are really saying, look, treat me like a human being. Let me know I'm important to the organization. And if I love being here and I feel good about it, I'll bring my A game for free. Managers tend to think if I throw enough money at them, they'll shut up and go back to work. And that's the trade-off. We call that the employer-employee disconnect, and that's what we do in our manager training, is get managers to see this is how you view your employees, but this is how your employees view you. See the difference.
All right. Now, you talk about love. You talk about being respected. We're moving into that area of airy-fairy, John, so I want to be careful here. But
yep.
The reality is work is work. I don't, you know, if I'm putting lug nuts on tires in Detroit, if there is such a job that hasn't been automated, you know, how much love can I feel putting bolts on tires?
Well, good point. And the fact is, the way you motivate and recognize line workers versus creativity workers is a big change. One of the things that we're seeing now is this four generations in the workplace.
Oh, good. I was going to ask you about that. Cool.
Well,
go on.
It's the hot new thing. And all these Gen Ys, which are coming into the workforce now, they tend to look at their job very differently. Baby boomers, like, I don't know how old you are.
I'm a boomer.
I'm a boomer. And I came in basically thinking like a traditionalist. I'm willing to come to work, work the time, respect the chain of command, fit in the best I can, even though I came out of the 60s. But Gen Ys come in almost like investors. They're saying, what's in this for me? What's in this for you? Let's make sure everybody's winning, and if not, within 90 days, I'll be looking. And it's a very scary thing for old-school employers. And so managers have to engage these people fairly quickly. Now, I believe that all human beings respond to being truly loved and respected. In other words, they want to know you care about them as a human being first before you give them the list of stuff you want to buy from them.
Right.
If you jump right to incentives and say, okay, here's all the stuff we want you to do better, and if you do, we're going to share the wealth, they start to feel like a cog in a big machine, and they're just a piece of meat, and you're going to throw money at them until they get the job done. That's very demeaning, particularly to the more creative, younger worker.
All right, but there we talk about the employer-employee disconnect, and it's never more obvious than when you have a traditionalist or even a baby boomer, who tend to be the older generations, talking to that Gen Y person that's coming in. How do we even relate? I mean, the Gen Y guy may have a tattoo. He may be pierced in areas that we don't even want to talk about. And, you know, he comes in with a whole different mindset. I'm looked at as a baby boomer. I'm looked at almost as the same age as his parents. And you know the love that children of that age have for their parents. So how do we make that, bridge that gap between the employee and the employer in that relationship with such a big age difference?
Well, I call it making it real. And the mistake not to make is to try to be cool. Don't try to act like them. Don't talk too much about like how current you are, because you never will be current enough. The real key is Gen Ys are more loyal than Gen Xs. Gen X is a very unique group. It's the smallest generation. They feel kind of like they were left out. They came in after downsizing, so they're scared to death. They don't trust anybody. They're the hardest group to engage, and they're the least loyal to the company. They're loyal to their team, and they're loyal to their own credentials. What's sad about Gen Xs is when they leave, they take their team with them. Gen Ys are much more flexible. They're much more willing to be loyal, but they're very interested in taking care of everybody. They came from the generation of everybody gets a trophy just for coming out to Little League.
Right.
You and I came from the generation that if I kick your butt and I win, I got it and you didn't, and better luck next time. Gen Ys are very uncomfortable with that. And so what we have to do is we have to engage them in an emotional way that says, we're really glad you're here. And they got to believe it. And that's why people like Herb Kelleher with Southwest Airlines, he's a goofy guy, but he says crazy things like, my employees are more important than my customers.
Right.
What a great line. Now, if he lives it, or at least he fakes it well enough that they believe him, then these people will stand in line to help out the company because it's their company. I had an interview with a pilot from Southwest, and the first thing I asked him is I said, look, you know, we all know you're making less money than an American or a United pilot. How come you're so happy? Why do you stay? He goes, because we get to fly the planes. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, we take off and land manually, which means we make decisions. We actually have a quick getaway negotiated with the airlines, where if there's a narrow window, we can take it. And if you've ever been on a Southwest Airlines plane that comes right off the taxiway, turns and goes,
right.
The guy took the quick getaway. And he is incentivized based on time arrivals.
I think that's great.
It's a different thing. The other guys, they may make more money, but they're just driving a big cab.
Okay. We're talking to John Schaefer, everybody. His latest book is Get More Productivity for Less Money. Your employees will love you for it. We're talking about the differences between Gen X, Gen Y, and, of course, the baby boomers. Let me bring it back to home to maybe make it more real for some of my listeners who are out there, because many of my listeners, by the way, John, are listening at work or in their cars or driving to sales appointments. So what are some of the most common gripes that you hear from employees these days, and what are some of the solutions to those gripes?
A lot of the gripes are around the use of technology and recognition. There was a great book written in the 80s that predicted all of these things that were going to happen with technology. And it was called High Tech, High Touch by John Nesbitt.
Yes.
And what he predicted was the more technology we use at work, the more we have to force a high-touch relationship. And I've had comments from people where they feel like recognition was given by a computer. Somebody punched something in, up comes an award, it gets shipped to their house. And so with this mobile, busy type of workforce, what people want is real human contact, something that, like, again, they believe it. It's real recognition. And it doesn't have to be expensive, and it doesn't have to be time-consuming. It just has to be genuine.
All right, let's get some specifics. And people who are listening to the sound of your voice, they may want some actionable items. So instead of sending the email that you carbon copy your boss, your boss's boss, and 100 other people on, which seems a little impersonal, what might you do to incent a worker that's done a good job that doesn't cost a whole lot of money?
Well, one of the beauties of technology is it's allowed us to create platforms where recognition can be handed out on the fly. So in other words, we have programs where we hand out a bunch of little thank you cards to managers that they can walk up to any employee when they see them doing something good and just hand them one and say, great job, I caught you doing something right. The employee goes onto the website and it's worth so much in points which they can add to their points bank. And so employees tend to see incentives as it's not a dollar value, but it's a way I can gather value from doing different things right, and then when I get enough, I can cash it out of catalog for something that I wouldn't have normally bought with my after-tax money. The danger, and this is the other direction people go, is they throw money at people because it's so easy to do. I can go walk into Safeway on the way to work and pick up any of 300 different gift cards. So when you give people a gift certificate or a gift card, it kind of carries that subtle message, kind of like grandma coming to your birthday party with a $10 bill in the card. While you like it, you know she did it on the way to the party in the car.
Okay.
And so what we don't want to do is have people feel like we're just throwing them a bone and that there wasn't much thought behind it.
All right, we're talking to John.
That's how an organized program works.
Got it, John. All right, what are some other ideas?
Well, I think one of the key things we teach is do it in front of other peers. There's only so much time to recognize, and so if recognition is done where other people can see it, there's this feeling of, gee, they're recognizing people all the time around here. Even though it isn't always you, it's somebody. And there's a shared feeling of enthusiasm that comes out of it, is that this place really cares. Look how they take care of everybody.
All right. I think that's good advice. We're talking to John Schaefer, everybody. He's author of the book, Get More Productivity for Less Money. Sound advice in this economy. Now, I've worked in my lifetime, John, for a lot of different people, and frankly, a lot of them didn't understand how I wanted to be given recognition. So from your experience, what are some of the biggest mistakes that managers make when they recognize an employee?
Well, what I've seen lately, the biggest mistake is they ask them. And everybody said, well, wait, we're doing a survey, and we want to know how people want to be recognized because we really care. But the very question is suspect. And the great analogy is it's like walking up to your wife and saying, happy anniversary, honey. What would you like for your anniversary? I'd like to buy another year. Yeah, it just doesn't go over well. And so what the big advice is to be genuine in how you present recognition. It has to come from the heart. It can't have that feeling of, look, we want to know what you want, and then we're going to go get it for you because that'll appease you so you'll go back and work again. I don't think employees trust employers, and that's a big, big issue. Trust is something that has to be earned. You can't buy it.
Very good point. Trust is earned. And I guess that brings up an interesting question about the times that we're in right now. With the recent debunking of individual greed on Wall Street and in the banks, et cetera, in general, how is that changing the way that employees look at the workplace and what's expected of them?
Well, I think that the bad guys that have gotten caught cheating and being greedy do kind of mess it up for the good ones. And it's what's created the lack of trust in the workplace. But I think that in general, managers without training don't really know how to earn trust because they're under the gun, they're understaffed, they've got more work to do than they got time, and they tend to, if they're not careful, come across almost in a threatening way to employees. It's like they're just frustrated and they say, just shut up and get back to work or I'll go get another one that looks just like you. You know, and employees sense that they're not human. They're just a tool to the company. And so the real key is to humanize things. And I don't care what generation it is. Once people believe that you truly care about them at that level, they then will bring their discretionary effort just because they feel better about it.
All right. Now, you know, this is a time where businesses have the upper hand in the employer-employee relationship because it's a tough job market out there. Nobody's going to be jumping ship. And I do see examples where businesses are taking advantage of this as well. We talked about that at the outset.
Yep.
So let me ask you, if somebody's listening to the sound of our voice, they like what they hear, they realize they've got to change a little bit in order to keep the people that may be jumping ship when the economy turns better, what are some ways that you would tell them to humanize their relationships with their employees? Because that can't be done overnight either. You know, humanizing is earned as well as trust is earned. So what are some steps that people can take right now to start humanizing their relationships with their subordinates?
Well, one of the best ones and the easiest and the cheapest is what we call management by wandering around. Just be seen. Be in the workplace. Be interested. But don't fake it. In other words, if you walk into your plant and you're the general manager or you're the owner, you don't know all these people. They know you. But don't pretend you know them better than you do. Do pretend or do act as if you truly care they're there and smile at them and ask them how they're doing and show a genuine interest in what they're doing and thank them for being on the team. It's amazing how well that works. When I worked at my first job, we were 6,000 people, and we used to get a newsletter every quarter. And there was this picture of this guy up in the corner. And the only reason we looked at it is that in the summer in Phoenix, when the picture didn't have his tie on, we could all take our ties off because it got real hot. And then in the fall, when the picture with the tie came back, we all put our ties on and we grumbled. But the joke was, who the heck is this guy? I've never met him. I wish he'd just wander by and wave every now and then. Then we, you know, we'd know he at least knew we existed down here in the trenches. And I didn't realize for years that what was a joke really was the key to the business that I ended up in, is that we just want to know they know we live down here.
All right, John. I mean, that makes sense, managing by walking around, and I get it. But here's the dilemma. Because of the economy, a lot of my peers have been axed, and I'm actually doing more work myself, so it makes it doubly hard for me to get out of my seat and manage by walking around. How do I solve that conundrum?
Good point. And it leads into one of the goals of manager training. The biggest problem with training is people are already too busy. The last thing they want to do is go to a training class.
Mm-hmm.
So I've come up with a 20-minute training program, and it basically is structured around why should you even care? And to your point, if you're a manager and you have a bunch of things going on, if I can reduce your turnover, if I can increase productivity, increase cooperation, have a higher morale workforce, I'll make your job easier. You'll have more time then to wander around and to deal with creative things. You won't be spending all your time recruiting and training and dealing with an underqualified workforce.
All right. We're talking to John Schaefer, everybody. Get More Productivity for Less Money. Your Employees Will Love It is the title of his new book. John, if you wanted people like what they hear from you, they're interested, they're intrigued, they want to learn more, where would you direct them to go?
I've got a couple websites. One is vocationalshrink.com. And the other is SchaeferRecognitionGroup.com.
Spell that for us.
It's S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R RecognitionGroup.com.
Schaefer Recognition Group or the EmploymentShrink.com?
Vocational Shrink. The other thing they could do is just Google Employee Recognition Expert. It'll find me real quick.
All right. We've been talking to John Schaefer, everybody, author of the book, Get More Productivity for Less Money. John, some great insights. Thanks for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Billy. Really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you. The pleasure is ours.